So, we're going to continue our series right now that we've been, I just felt a real urgency, I think, to share with you the power of God, to share and understand the immensity of God. You know, oftentimes we have our problems and our situations and circumstances, and they are so big, and to us they are. And they can be overwhelming, and we can be disappointed, and we can be confused, and you know, oftentimes the way we think things ought to go, they don't go that way. And then how does that fit in, and what is God doing? And we have questions, and the depth of our faith goes to different levels based on the things we experience. And because why? When you experience really hard things, you ask different questions to God than when you don't experience them. When you don't have to deal with things, we don't deal with them. But when you are thrust into a situation that you have to deal with something that you didn't want to deal with, or you're dealing with something that you didn't think would happen, and you got to walk through that, it takes you to a place in your relationship with God where you question things. And all those questions lead to deeper relationship with God. And so, understanding that God is way bigger than your stuff, no matter what that stuff is huge toward getting through those things. Is understanding that there is a God who is powerful. There is a God who controls everything. Yeah, you and I have free will, but our free will is constricted by God's sovereign will. Nothing gets in on God's sovereign will unless he allows it. And if it doesn't work towards his purposes, no matter what comes your way, it cannot penetrate his sovereign will. On the other hand, anything God allows in your life or wants to happen in your life cannot escape his sovereign will. So yes, you and I have free will, but our free will is constrained. So when God allows something in or takes something out, there's a purpose to it. And God has promised that it would work out for good. We will not understand that because we are so limited in our ability to understand the God of creation. So Paul kind of opens us up to this in the book of Ephesians, in his letter to the church at Ephesus. And I went over some of this a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to rehash it a little bit because I want to get to the sixth dimension today, where we will understand the greatness of God. That's my prayer, in a greater way than you've ever understood it before, perhaps. But Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's telling them that God chose them, called them before he made anything. He already had them in his mind's eye. He knew what generation they would be in. He knew what their upbringing would be like. He knew everything about them, and he was going to work something out of it that would be a blessing to the generation they're in, would have a legacy beyond that, and would also bring glory to God. So he had this plan working. He's telling the Ephesians this. And then he says, don't worry, because the Holy Spirit will come inside you once you believe Jesus. And this Holy Spirit will teach you and lead you. And then he says, and as he's expounding on these things, which we'll look at a couple scriptures, all of a sudden in the middle of that book, he stops and he starts praying. And he kind of shifts gears. And he goes, I can't even grasp the enormity of God's power and his love for his people. And he says this. He says in verse 16 of Ephesians 3, he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. He starts out by saying, God has unlimited resources to deal with your inner being. And that in itself, he said, is a miracle, because that's what you and I need help with. The outer stuff, we can do lots of stuff about. Where we struggle is in our inner being. And he says, God has unlimited resources to help us in that arena. And you and I can even look at that as a dimension of our being. The dimension we don't see, the soul, the spirit part, the mind, the things that we don't see, but have great, great influence in our lives. That's where we need help. How many have struggled with the same thing over and over again? Because you just can't overcome it. God has unlimited resources for you to deal with it. How? One day at a time. And part of that unlimited resources might be, as Tim shared, let somebody else in your life. But see, if I go by my resources, oftentimes that is like, I don't share nothing about that. I can work my way through it. How many have pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, only to trip on the shoelaces? We are limited. So Paul, the first thing he is blown away by that God has unlimited resources to help us. Now, your challenge and my challenge is to receive the resource he gives us to deal with what we got. If I refuse the resource, which is unlimited, so he's got enough for any area of our life. If I refuse his help in that, and you and I might have pictures in our own mind of how that should work, we're usually wrong. If I refuse that, then I am left to my resources. But he said, I'm not only going to give you the resource, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit in you so you can actually begin to work it out. Because your power can't do it. You can't. We're not capable of doing it. So how's he equate this to? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, it says this, for God said, let there be light in the darkness. From God's perspective, we walk around in a dark state. Well, when you're in darkness, what's that mean? It means you don't know what you're doing. You can't. If we darkened everything in this room to where you couldn't see, we'd all be in a lost state trying to figure our way around. One tiny little light, if we were able to completely black out this room and I took out a match and lit it, everybody in the room would be able to see it. And if I took that match and just held it, it would give enough light to where I could see where I'm walking. It would give me a resource to use. God, throughout all of Scripture, including Jesus when he said, I'm the light of the world, always refers to himself as light, great light. In fact, anyone that ever saw the Lord, even angels, they said they were so bright, the light coming was so bright, it was brighter than the sun. And they would always fall down. So this light, he says, that resource that God gives us begins with believing Jesus, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit. He says, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, and that's at the beginning of creation, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We begin to see Jesus in a whole different light. How many of us in here have kept Jesus way at bay? You might have heard about him at some point, but you ain't going to Jesus. All his resources are no. He's got one resource. Fun? No. Good times? Never. Harsh? All about it. We had these imaginations about what it would be to follow God, and we rejected it. A lot of times people led us in that arena. We saw these people that professed to know this God that loved us, but everything they did wasn't really loving. Whether it was hypocrites or whatever it was that tainted us. So we begin to see the first thing the light does is give us a little bit different picture of Jesus. And we begin to see Jesus in a way we didn't see him before. And then that light begins to light up areas of darkness in us. Not to condemn us, to give us a resource on how to deal with it, how to overcome it. And see, and sometimes in our minds, we think the overcoming is one and done. How many would like their stuff to be one and done? And sometimes it is. And sometimes it isn't. But it can be one and done a day at a time. an hour at a time. One of the biggest ones that we're told is Scripture says, don't worry. Don't worry. That's a dark place in us. Worry is a dark place. What does God say? Don't worry, I got it taken care of. I got it taken care of. In fact, he commands us not to worry. To obey him is to reject worry and to move into trust. We're always worried. That's a sin. That falls short. That's what sin is. It's falling short. That falls short of what God would have for us. So Paul is looking at this and he's going, first of all, I'm amazed at what he can do in the inner being. And I'm just praying and going, wow, God, that is so awesome. You can transform this inner being. You can take a man like Chris or Tim or me. Take a guy that worshiped a rock, a crystal, and change his life. Well, you know, we can chuckle at that, but Joe, I worshiped at the altar of Joe. I didn't know my head from my, and I didn't know nothing. And I still work. Oh, Joe, what do you think we should do in this situation? Get higher. Find a new connect. This guy you owe too much money to. Whatever it was, bail out, run away. Don't share that. Walk in shame. Whatever that stuff is. That's what Joe led. That was my inner man leading me. He's not a good leader. Half the thoughts I have aren't in my favor. You ever notice that? Ever notice how negative thinking we can be? That's not of a God. That's not of God. There's a darkness in there. And what Paul is going to tell us is because we don't understand the love of God for us. We don't understand how broad and how deep and how high it is. We don't get it. So then he leads us. He takes us into this place, and this goes on from generation to generation. Every generation, God is taking his light and lighting us in us. In 1 Timothy 2, we're jumping ahead, brother. 2, it says this, "This is good and pleases God our Savior." What is good and pleases him? Who wants everyone to be saved. That word saved means healed. And understand the truth to get God. For there is one God and one mediator between God who can reconcile God and humanity, can fix that inner thing between us and God. And today that light still shines. John 1:5 tells us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. That's why you're done for when you got Jesus and you keep on sinning. You're done for. Why? The darkness can't extinguish the light. So you're always being convicted. You're always walking around and it's hitting you and it's messing with you because the light is in that dark place. That's why once you get Jesus, it messes up all the dark stuff. Doesn't mean you won't do it or can't do it. What it means is it's going to tear at you to do it. No matter how much you want to squish it, the Holy Spirit ain't going to stop. Because Paul told us earlier in Ephesians that he is the guarantee of getting us home. He is the guarantee. He is our teacher, we're told in John 14. That's his job. In fact, Jesus in John 14 is a great chapter. In the beginning of that chapter, the guys are eating the Last Supper with Jesus, and they finally snap to that Jesus is going to die. And they are immediately rocked. Their whole idea of how it would roll out, the disappointment they're feeling, the confusion that's come upon them, the thoughts of what does their future look like? We've given up years of our life to follow him. What's going to happen now? Were we tricked? Is this a game? What's going on? He says, don't worry. Trust in God still and trust in me, for in my Father's house are many rooms. If it wasn't true, I'd have told you that. And I'm going there I'm going to this dimension that you don't know about, but I've been there. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. And then as he's sharing this, he jumps and talks about the Holy Spirit. And he says this. He says, I am telling you, in verse 25, I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. In these hours that I'm still with you, I'm telling you this about what's going to happen. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. That light that will be in you, the inner man, the inner woman, he will teach you. He will light up. He will guide. And he will remind you of everything I said. That's why it's important to get into God's word, because you'll know what he said. You'll know what he thinks about you. You know the direction he sets. And he has unlimited resources to help us. There is not one area in your life that he doesn't have help for. You just have to receive it the way he gives it. So, it tells us this in John 1:5, that light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. Then he goes on to say this, Paul, back in Ephesians, we'll jump back there, after he says the inner person, which I shared with you, and that blows Paul's mind. Now he goes to talk about his love and how comprehensive it is. He says, and may you know, in verse 18, and may you have the power, oh, that would be an inner thing, the ability to understand. You know, when you understand something, that gives you the ability to stand under it. So when you have this knowledge, you'll be able to stand under it, and it will help you. He says, to understand as all God's people should. Oh, okay, this is something for all of us. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. His love encompasses the four dimensions you and I lived in. I talked about them a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to run over them quickly again for you, because I really want to get to the sixth dimension. He says, may you experience the love of Christ. So not only know about it, that it would become a relationship with you. Jesus would actually relate to you. He's not someone far off. He's not someone so distant he doesn't know you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows where every hair that fall off your head goes. He knows everything. He's intimately involved. You can communicate with this God. And he says this, though this is too great to understand fully, we can't grasp it. But even if you can grasp some of it, he says, it'll change your life. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. As you understand the greatness, the comprehensiveness of God's love for you, which encompasses, fills up all that he's made, that will change the way you do life. That will change the way you look at life. That'll change the situation, the problems you have, and they will fit now under this God who's in charge of everything, who knows what he's doing, though you don't. You'll never understand fully. Why? Because we're limited. And he's unlimited, and his resources are unlimited. His will is unstoppable. He's in absolute total control, always. He never gives up that control. He says this immensity of his love for us reaches to the outer edges of the four dimensions of this universe, this creation that we live in. And he created all of us, all of that for us to live in. It's part of what we are. That's why we will get a resurrected body, because we were designed to live in this creation. Just like angels, which we'll look at next week, were designed to live in the supernatural, what we would consider the supernatural, which is a dimension. It's different than ours, but it's just as real. It's just different. So, though we are limited in our ability to comprehend it all, it nonetheless has great power. So, let's run through the dimensions again really quickly, because it's important for us, as Paul said, we ought to know this. It's important for us to understand it. Understanding helps to change the way we look at things. I remember when I was first going into basketball, when I played basketball way back in grade school, I didn't understand plays and what was the purpose of this. Don't we just dribble down and shoot? Don't we just dribble and shoot the ball? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go do that. That's what everybody does. That's the point. No, this is how you play the game. And that understanding, as I began to understand why we do a pick or we do this particular play, or what is a pick and roll, and what is some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. And you could care less. And you'll never understand basketball then. So, but take that scenario and add it to any other scenario in life. How many read books? How many parents do we have in here? How many did some study on what parenting was before you had kids? How many realized that was pretty much useless once you had the kid? Because they didn't know what kind of kid you were going to have. That it's why experience and understanding changes everything. Oh, it's helpful knowledge. It's good knowledge, but experience changes you. So he's saying when you understand this capacity of God, it changes you. And when you experience God in the ups and the downs and the all arounds, with great loss and great victory, with continued failures, you learn in failures how much God still loves you and still stays with you. You understand things you don't understand till you experience it. Then your depth of knowledge, your depth of God, your depth of yourself grows. So Paul says, listen, there are four dimensions, and he mentions them. The first dimension that everything in this universe has is length. Everything from the smallest atom, molecule, neutron, whatever the smallest thing is, to the biggest thing, and in our solar system it would be our sun, has length. He says God's love for us encompasses the full length of that creation. Everything in creation, including you, has height. I have this amount of length. I can actually change it. I have that amount of length now. And I can come in here at length. I can change my length if I gain weight or lose weight. I can change my length. I can't do a whole lot for my height, but I can change my height if I step down here. I've just changed how high I am. So these can be moved to a degree. So everything has length and height. So if you take them, you can make a square. And that's what we do when we look at TV or computer screen. It's two-dimensional. Length and width. If you have the right camera angles and they can do stuff, they can take us to the third dimension. Let's go to the first dimension there, is that which gives length. Second dimension. Oh, okay, he's got it up there. Second dimension. Okay, or height, altitude. Now it becomes a two-dimensional square. Okay, third one. Third dimension involves depth. Everything has space. Your depth is all the stuff inside you. It is what creates this. This is my depth. And everything inside, all of it, whether it's an atom, whether it's the sun, has those three components. That is part and parcel of the dimensions we live in. The fourth dimension is time. You are at one place in time. You are here now. When you leave this place, you will move in time to another location. You occupy one location in time all the time. Now, time for us is always moving forward. Some of us kind of believe that if we could only go back in time and change the family I was in, I'd be good. You can't change it, but you can be healed from it. You can recover from it. But for us, time is moving forward, always. And 10 minutes from now, we'll have moved 10 minutes into the future, 10 minutes closer to the end of our time here, 10 minutes towards something else. When you're traveling on the road, you're moving in time towards your next destination, where you're going to be length, height, and depth. Matter what consists inside. Everything has it. You guys got that. That's what we live in. In fact, there are people that are trying to be able to move along the timeline, which is the fifth dimension. Now, this all came about years ago when the rabbis, the theologians during Paul's time, because Paul mentioned this. He says, if you understood the height, the length, the depth, the width, which means time, of God's love for us, it encompasses his creation. That's how big it is. You would look at your life differently. That, whoa, God is doing something because he loves me. Even when things go south, there's something being worked out, and it will demonstrate at the end some point that there was love involved. And he wants to reach people, and sometimes that's why he gives us trouble, so we can have a commonality. So the fifth dimension, and well, let me tell you about the rabbis. The rabbis a long time ago, and Paul was a Pharisee, so he was a rabbi himself. So he would be involved in these philosophical, theological discussions, and they would sit around and go, well, how many dimensions does God live in? They could recognize, even though they didn't have the instrumentation we have, they could recognize that this is how we live. We live in these four dimensions. What does God live in to have that capacity? And they came up with the idea of 10 dimensions. He must operate in 10 dimensions. Well, you know, our latest scientists have come up with the idea that we live in what they call a superstring theory, where they came up with the same idea. We have 10 dimensions. But it's like a guitar strings that each of them operate. They operate together, but yet they're different. And then you have more scientists saying, you know what? In this creation, there must be at least 26 dimensions. And what's a dimension? A dimension is a reality whether I observe it or not. It's there. It's real. Kind of like air. Air is here whether I see it or feel it. I can sometimes feel it if it's blowing. I can sometimes feel like it's stifling if the humidity's hard. I mean, whatever the humidity is. Angelic realm, which we'll talk about next week, they have the ability to go through walls. Jesus went into a room that was locked. That's a dimension. That's probably outside the 10th dimension. So they said, okay, if you had the capacity to go into the fifth dimension, what is the fifth dimension? Time travel. We've been trying to do it. We watch movies. How many watched Back to the Future when you were a kid? How many have never heard of that movie and you're like 25? Watch it because it's so real. They had a cool car called the DeLorean. And that's the ability to move along the timeline and have the control to do that. Well, what did God say? He says, I know the end from the beginning, and nothing interferes with what I'm going to do. God can travel freely along the timeline. That's a dimension we don't have. Although we're trying to do it, they're trying to bend time and trying to go, if we can just bend the timeline, then we would be able to jump back. We bend the present back to the end. And if we could bend this, then we could do a quick jump back there. And they're trying to figure out stuff. And even if they could, God says, I still control it all. In fact, the latest scientists say, even if we can master time travel, we still can't change the future. We don't have that capacity because we're limited to our generation we're born in. So we already have that. If that would be limited, if we could change history, we wouldn't be born, and therefore we'd have no effect. So we can't really even change history if we could time travel. And so that dynamic, that's a God dynamic. There is the ability of God to travel freely through time. It says this in Psalm 32. It says, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing to God, you people who live in this time. Sing praise to the Lord, to him who rules across. Oh, that's time. To move across something is time. He moves across. He rides across. Not a problem. Moves at free at will. Across the highest heavens. The highest. The most distant from us. All has to do with the four dimensions. The ancient heavens. Oh, he rides the heavens. And he can also ride back to the ancient heavens. To where it all begins. Not a problem to him. He rides it like a horse. He says, who thunders with mighty voice, proclaim the power of God. Scripture tells us in numerous places, God has no problem with time. So then, he takes us to the sixth dimension. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time on. In the sixth dimension is where the notion of possible other worlds arise, where we could compare and position all the possible universes that start with the same initial conditions as us. He says, not only if someone possessed the power of the sixth dimension, not only could they look at our solar system, the sun and the planets we can see and the stars we can see, and be able to bring it back down to what scientists call the Big Bang, or what we call in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. First verse in the Bible says he put it together. He says, you could understand its origin and you could understand where it's going. You'd understand the process. Not only of this, but all the similar worlds. All the similar planets and galaxies and solar systems and all the nebulas, the black holes, all the stuff out there, you'd understand. That's a person, and of course this is talking about human beings, saying if we could have that capacity, we would be able to operate and to operate freely in these dimensions. We can't even operate in the four dimensions we have freely. We are limited by time. We can't time travel. We can't go and understand it all, except that God made it. So that means, in theory, if someone could operate in this, they would understand. Now let's read what Isaiah 44:24 says. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, I fixed you, and the Creator of everything, and Creator, I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? Who pulled that one with me? Nobody. That's a God thing. He understands the sixth dimension, where it all started, where it's all going, how it stretches out. You know, our scientists have determined, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. Do you know that our universe is expanding at the speed of light? You know what the speed of light is? 186,000 miles a second. Our universe, as far as we can see, when we can't even see it all with our best telescopes, we can't see the end of our universe. We can only see as far as we can see. But he says, but our scientists say, beyond that, what they have noticed, at the universe is continuing to expand at the speed of light. 186,000 miles a second. God understands all that. He says, I stretch it out. He's still stretching it out. They didn't know anything about stretching out the universe back then when this was written. Isaiah didn't pull out his little glasses and go, I don't even know if they had glasses, and looked out there and say, you know, the universe is expanding. God stretched out the heavens. That's all new. So let me give you a little example to show you the power of God and yours and my inability to understand the immensity of God's love for us, because he says it stretches across the heavens. And his depth is as deep as the heavens. The sun, the biggest star in our solar system, It would, lengthwise, it would take 109 Earths next to each other to make the length of the sun. The depth, how deep, what the sun holds would be 1.3 million Earths. And it sits distance-wise from us 93 million miles. The light emanating from the sun takes 8 minutes to reach us. So when light hits you, when you go outside and you feel the sun, it left the sun 8 minutes ago. The sun's surface, the height and length, puts out flame, what we call flame, they call it eruptions, 10,000 miles high, and then it falls back. Every second, 5 million tons of energy per square yard. Remember, 109 Earths go across. Per square yard of that, 5 million tons of energy is released. We don't even understand that. We can't even wrap our head. How many knew that 1.3 million Earths fit in the sun? Yeah, you just learned something. And that, nothing to God. Not a big, in fact, the sun is a mediocre star. You know what the biggest star we've been able to find with our best telescopes? They just found it a year or so ago. It's called Stevenson 2-18. It is 2,150 times longer than our sun. So you would take 109 Earths times 2,150, and you've got the length of it. If you were to take that star, Stevenson 2-18, how many knew about that one? Yeah, we just figured it out ourselves. Hey, there's something really big out there. They're not even sure if that's the biggest one. It's big. If you were to take that and put it where our sun is, 93 million miles away from the Earth, that sun's density capacity would reach to Saturn, the sixth planet in our solar system. In other words, the Earth and the other five fellas are done. We're done. We're cooked. And this is from 93 million miles away. It would keep coming right up to Saturn. There'd be no solar system. That's just a little taste. In fact, could we get the graphic up there? This is what we've been able to see of the creation of all the universes we have. That picture, is it there? That's a picture of it. Our solar system is so tiny you can't even see it on there. It's a nothing. It's zero. It's invisible. You know what that? This is what we know. Now remember, this is also expanding in every direction 186,000 miles a second. It's continuing to be stretched out. Let me tell you this about it. You know how rim to rim, that rim to that rim, how far we can guesstimate based on our best mathematics? Its length is 540 sextillion miles. You know how far that is? That's 54 followed by 22 zeros. And that's as far as we can see. We know there's more out there. We just can't pick up the light from it. It is so far. You know, some of the light we're getting from stars right now died long time ago, and the light traveling that left that star at 186,000 miles a second is just now reaching us. And our great-grandchildren, if the Lord should tarry, will not even receive that light. and new stars are being made all the time. The Hubble microscope, telescope, our most powerful telescope, they had it focused in one tiny area of that thing that was up there, of all what we know about it, the creation. It said, they came to the conclusion that just looking at that one little telescope, there has to be billions and billions of stars, let alone what's out there. So when Paul says in Ephesians 3:18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide time, how long length, how high, and how deep capacity God's love for us is, you will be changed. You will stop like he did in the middle of writing this letter and fall down and go, I'm just blown away. Because this guy said he went to the third heaven, which we'll be looking at next week, which is the seventh dimension, which is all the worlds possibly that didn't have similar beginnings. See, what I just showed you up there, all that had beginnings like we had. It is all part of our dimensions. These guys were thinking, they're not believers in God, but they're thinking, you know, besides that, what if there's a dimension out there that isn't similar to ours? So the seventh dimension, which we'll look at next week, is that which we would call, as believers, the supernatural. It moves beyond the natural, the realm of the angels, the realm of God. And Paul said, you know, at this point when he wrote Ephesians, he had already been to the third heaven. He says, I've passed all the creation and been to the abode where God is, the realm of God, that dimension, the realm of the angels. You're never going to be an angel. You were designed to be a human being to live in this generation. Angels were designed to live in that. They were designed to interact. We'll be amazed at that, but they are different than us. So in the sixth dimension, God capacity to control everything. In fact, this is what he says when Isaiah makes a statement here about the Lord. Can I get that 48? Isaiah 48, 13. It was my hand, he said, a little work of my hand, that laid the foundations of the earth, that laid how the earth would operate in all my creation. I did that with my hand. And my right hand spread out the heavens. I took this hand and made the earth. And then my right hand, I went over it and I made all the heavens. It ain't even a big deal. When the scripture talks about hand, it talks about the pinky to the thumb, the span. All that we've been looking at, he made in his hand. It ain't even a big deal. In fact, another place in Isaiah says, he holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. You know how much water you can hold in your palm of your hand? If you make it like as much cup as you can hold a little bit. He says, that to God, that's how he holds all the oceans, which make up 75% or more of the earth. I don't even know the exact number. He says that it ain't no big deal. It's easy. So you and I, what does that do for you and I? What are we tripping on? What is our problem? It's we don't understand. We think stuff in this world is bigger, more powerful. God's going to judge evil. They're going to get theirs. Right now, he's just drawing in people. Judgment is coming. Generation after generation calls out, God, how long? What are you going to allow all this stuff to happen? He's drawing people in, and he's using you and I, because he also says we're the light of the world. Every place you go, you're a light, and you're being sent into dark places. You don't have to go in there and know every scripture there is. You just have to be who you are, a child of God, and live it. And that lights up, and the darkness can't extinguish it. Some of God's kids put out their light when we get around darkness because we don't want to stand out too much. When we were crazy, we sure didn't mind standing out. Right? Some of you go to sports events and or concerts. Like there was a concert at the fair last night, the 80s band. They did all the 80s music. You should have seen those crazies. Whatever that dance was they did in the 80s, I was a Christian. That was horrible, I know. Now I'm embarrassed. But see, I didn't care then. I didn't care about a lot of stuff, how I looked, what I sounded like, you know. But now I'm a Christian, and, you know, I can barely raise my hand at church to worship because I'm so afraid of what everybody's going to think. I know. Oh, who's like that in here? You ain't going to raise your hand. Oh, she did. We're not going to raise, we're ashamed. Listen, your stuff is your stuff. Just deal with it. And deal with it the way God gives you the resources. You don't dictate to God. You receive his unlimited resources to deal with it. If he chooses to deliver, he chooses to deliver. If he chooses to take you through it, then go through it. Don't tell him he needs to take you out of it if he wants you to go through it, because you ain't getting out of it anyway. How many know that? If he tells you to go, go. If he says sit down and be quiet, sit down and be quiet. If he says love your spouse, love her. Tells you to walk in celibacy, walk in it. Yeah, but it's hard. It's always hard. How many have ever done anything for God that was easy? It ain't for God if it's easy. I mean, we prayed for Tim today, and I'm super happy that he's going in. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, he don't know what. He don't know what fan he's hitting now. He has no idea. God bless him. And God will. But see, all that stuff creates in him the ability to minister more effectively. God will take you through it so you can help others through it. And so, bottom line is this. Understand and believe what Paul says. Let's go over 3:18 once more. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. So don't be afraid. Can we stand up? I'm going to lead you in a prayer, if you would. Lord Jesus, I confess you are all powerful. And I repent of letting things in my life move you out of that place and make you small. I renounce that. And I affirm the truth that your love for me is comprehensive as the creation you made. Your power and your resources are unlimited. So, Holy Spirit, help me to tap in, to be brave, to be obedient, and to trust you, especially when I don't understand. And to rest. And I want to read one more scripture to you guys. You know, after Jesus in chapter 14 of John talked to them about his passing, about the Holy Spirit coming, he says this, right after that, he says this in verse 27. He says, I'm leaving you guys with a gift. I'm getting ready to go in a few hours. The Holy Spirit's going to come. You're going to be, God's in control. But he says, I'm going to leave you a gift. Well, what is that? He says, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Another version tells us, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble. Don't worry, I've overcome it. So listen, if you've been being tossed and turned and your peace of mind and heart has to do with our feelings. The mind has to do with the way we think. So our feelings trigger our mind and we think all kinds of things. If you're being tossed to and fro, you're making God small. And you're making yourself and your ability really big. So, Lord, let's pray this. Lord Jesus, I repent of letting my mind and my heart dictate how I understand things. I renounce that. And I ask you to give me that gift of peace of mind and peace of heart in the midst of what I need to overcome. Give me the willingness to tap into and obey the resources you give me to deal with what I have to deal with. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And all God's kids said,
amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great, great day.